It's 27 minutes to 11 o'clock. Thanks so much for joining us. Over the next 27 minutes, we're going to be talking about our pets in studio. Animal behavioralist or dog behavioral specialist, Storm Freestone, in studio with us. Also with Leah. Hello, Leah. How are you doing? Leah is the most calm, patient, most quiet animal I've seen in a long time. How long have you had Leah?
So Leah's my admin's dog, eh?
Admin's dog?
Yeah. So I've an administrator for the business, mm-hmm. and I wanted a dog that I had minimal influence over to bring mm-hmm. on set to kind of talk about. And I think Claudia, that's my admin's name, Claudia Hooper. I think she's had Leah since she was a pup now, or mm-hmm. since she was about 1 or 2 years old, somewhere around there.
So not your pup, it's Claudia's pup, but is it, have you learned how to control any particular animal? Is that what you do as an animal behavioralist? You could calm and bring very, you know, a centered approach to all animals? Or all dogs, I should say.
Yeah, I wouldn't say control, hey? I wouldn't put it that way. It's more to understand the needs of dogs in general and breed sort of specific needs and then to utilize that so that they feel most comfortable.
You can call in 021-446-0567. We're talking about particularly dogs and training, good behavior. We're talking about animal behavior. And if you have any questions to Storm, you're free to call in 021-446-0567. Leah, you're under our table, as you say, is a mix of everything. But when we talk about, is there a bit, there's obviously dogs as work animals, yeah, as well. Sure. So they serve their purpose. Right. But in terms of socializing, yeah. in terms of simply wanting a companion, is there an optimal breed in your opinion, Storm?
Oh, geez, that's a great question. I think each breed kind of suits another person differently. If you want a very active dog, something along the lines of a Border Collie or Alsatian would kind of suit. Most people nowadays just go for a Labrador, though. Hey? I wouldn't say specifically. I would promote the idea of rescuing rather than going ahead and buying a dog, because a lot of people do that nowadays, and that comes with its list of problems as well.
And I haven't had or been around a pup since I moved out, and I've always lived in flats and things since. Right. So I've never had a dog problem in the last 17-18 years. So well, I haven't had one as a pet for a while, but I'm noticing around my friends and people who are adopting, rescue is what they are, like you are promoting. Is there anything about the temperament in a dog which you may not necessarily know in terms of its breed and origin? Ooh, about the temperament of a rescue dog? Could they change, you know, based on the various mixes and mengelmusses that make up this beautiful animal?
Yeah, well, when you rescue a dog, hey, you're looking at between anywhere along the lines of 4 to 32 different breed genetics mixed in. So you don't know at all. When you adopt a rescue, when on the sort of surface you can identify a breed or two, then you've got a better idea. But otherwise, you have absolutely no clue whatsoever. The whole point is to socialize from get-go as soon as you've got that dog rescued and train as much as you can. That's a lot of what I specialize in. I don't really work in obedience as much. It's mainly based on making sure that your dog has the most sort of stable life with you as possible, and that you understand your pet to the best of your degree. That's why I'm also really excited if anyone does want to call in and sort of ask questions. I'm happy to answer.
Wendy, I see you there in Bayview. I'll get you in a short while, but let's unpack some terms. You mentioned obedience.
Yeah.
There is training.
Yeah.
There's also animal or dog behavior. What's the difference? And I understand that there's a difference, and maybe even a different ethic or observation when we talk about obedience. What is dog obedience? obedience.
Obedience is more sort of command training based on your basics around sit, stay, wait. And it's more kind of leaning towards trick training. That's how I identify it. That's not something... A trainer works more in obedience. A behaviorist is there to read the situation and apply accordingly based on what you feel that the dog needs and what the owner can apply to suit a better lifestyle for their dogs. From what I understand, and I don't want to express ignorance, so I'll leave it kind of open-ended, but from what I know, a trainer is someone who works more just based on conditioning, so that can be positive conditioning when it comes to, say, tree training. Tree training can be anything. It can be to apply a positive response when you see it for a behavior you like, and there's also something called negative conditioning when it's to apply the adverse response, being something that you don't like and that you don't want to see. So I don't know, a lot of trainers vary nowadays. It's not sort of code and conduct with the dog kind of industry in that regard. It is regulated to a degree, but not as much.
Wendy in Bayview, thanks for calling. Your question.
Hi. Yes, thank you. Good morning. We rescued a puppy from the SPCA about a year ago. Mm-hmm. We trained the puppy, potty trained the puppy. So now he's just over a year. Mm-hmm. So he's doing what he needs to do outside, yeah. But he's still doing all of that inside every single day.
Okay.
So he's quite intelligent in different ways, like the tricks you spoke about, the system, and obediently sits down when it's time to eat and so forth. So it's just that he wets everywhere every day. Mm. So we just don't know what to do.
Right. And so you said you adopted him about a year ago.
Yes.
Right. And how old is he at the moment?
So he's just over a year and 1 month. Okay. Mom was pregnant at the SPCA, and she gave birth to the puppies, and we adopted one.
Okay.
They were little of 7 puppies.
Okay. So you've got him at just over a year, so you still have a lot of development behavior to use and to influence over him. Just a quick question. How often do you take him outside to do his business?
About 4 or 5 times a day. We don't always go with him. Sometimes we would tell him to go and pee, and we would watch and see, and he does go and he pees outside. Sometimes I go with him and he would pee outside, and then we would come in and then he would pee inside again.
Okay. Now that's quite a common issue. Hey, the one thing I would suggest right away is to formulate a routine for him. So let's say now you're taking him out 4 to 5 times a day as you would. What I would do is 2 to 3 times a day now going forward, I would take him out, I would observe him, and as soon as he does his business, I would enthusiastically reward him with good boy or a word that he responds to very positively. So that way he knows that at each set time during the day, he's going to start understanding that that's when he goes out, and then he gets some sort of positive reward for doing his business outside. You want to create a better association for him going outside. Mm-hmm. Than it would be inside. It's not something that you can really express. Look, it's something that can be quite frustrating, but any sort of frustration directed towards him is not going to actually influence him to do his business outside. The whole point is you've got 1 to 2 seconds, mainly being 1 second, to actually influence the behavior that you like or dislike. Otherwise, it's out the window and he's going to formulate his own understanding to it.
So that's
the kind of point. But that's definitely something I would suggest to implement going forward.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Best of luck with your pup. Craig, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you all? Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a question for Storm.
Yes, listening.
Storm, I have a Mallorca Shepherd, which I rescued as well, and his name is also Storm.
Oh, great.
And he socialized. He tries to dominate other dogs, but never, ever gets aggressive with them.
Right.
He gets on with my cat.
Great.
But he's super protective. Mm-hmm. And when he's off a lead, he's not aggressive at all, but as soon as I put him on a lead and anybody comes near me, he wants to nip them.
Okay. And
I have to hold him by the collar, and on Saturday he like leapt forward, pulled me forward, and just nipped somebody on the ankles, and I'm not sure what to do with this dog, whether I should put a muzzle on him, which is not really a nice thing to do, but he's boisterous and he's overprotective.
Right.
But that's only when he's on a lead, when I'm holding him.
Right. And okay, quick question. One, would you say it's severe enough to the point that you feel like a muzzle is necessary?
Well, look, he's bitten a few people and he's drawn blood a few times, and okay. I don't want to get into trouble, you know.
Yeah.
Just now somebody goes and complains to authorities, and then I'm in trouble, you know. But I'm loath to put him on a muzzle, but I don't know what to do with him.
Okay. And also, would you say that he's quite play-driven?
He's quite?
Play-driven.
He loves to rumble. I've got a mixed collie, Labby, also rescue.
Yeah.
And both of them run. And Storm in particular has got a lot of stamina, being a Majorca Shepherd. Yes. He can run for hours.
Right, of course.
He needs lots and lots of exercise.
Yes, absolutely. And how often do you take him for walks at the moment?
I walk him every day.
Right, fantastic. And also, would you say that does he chase? So he's fine with your cats, you say?
He's completely, completely subservient to the cats.
Great. And otherwise, other small animals outside of the home, does he chase or does he not bother?
He chases.
Oh, he does, right, prey drive. One thing I would suggest, there's a tool that I recommend for most of my clients and for any dogs that are exhibiting prey drive. It's called a flirt pole dog toy. You can find it online, but it's incredibly, incredibly hard to source. Most of my clients source it from outside of South Africa. Otherwise, it's very easy to make. If you search it on Google, you'll find a link. It's probably the first one that tells you on how to make it. It's basically a 1 meter to 1.5 meter pole, 1.5 meter piece of rope attached to that pole, and then a toy at the end of that rope, and then you'll just stand in one place, dart the toy around as if it was an alive sort of animal, and that'll utilize the prey drive. You'll do it in your home and you'll facilitate the entire process yourself. You'll ask him to sit in between. It'll get the majority of it out of him, and then when he's on the walk, you'll see about 70% of the behavior you're seeing now, it will reduce. The one thing I would suggest, though, is in getting a muzzle, I wouldn't just get a muzzle and put it on him. I would acclimate him to a muzzle. There's many videos online teaching you about positive conditioning to a muzzle so that he enjoys having the muzzle on and that he feels comfortable wearing the muzzle. That's very, very important as well. Definitely, I would suggest that if he's bitten a few people.
Thanks so much for that, Craig. Let's talk about that. We spoke about the difference between behavior, training, and obedience. I don't want to be around people with aggressive or snappy dogs. I would die of embarrassment if that was, and understand people love the animals and they just like their children, they try and make entrenched positive behavior. Yeah. But at what point do you as a owner have to take responsibility that, gosh, my dog is a bit too aggressive outside of my property? At what point do you have to think, well, maybe I have to do something?
Immediately, as soon as you notice any signs of reactivity, you must get help right away. That's a huge part of the whole sort of arrangement, especially in my work. Is the first step is taking responsibility. That is absolutely the first step. And as it puts on our website, as soon as you notice a sign, contact us right away. Do not hesitate, because it can worsen the longer you leave it, because that behavior is allowed and then it formulates more and more through time. But no, it's something that is quite complex, and a lot of people kind of leave it. I also feel like a lot of people don't know how to handle it when it happens. You know, I see a lot of people with a majority of aggression or reactive based issues stem around fear. Their dog is in fear majority of the time. So he spoke about dominance, the previous call now. That's minimal. We barely see that sort of matriarchal standpoint nowadays. That's barely a thing anymore, of dominance and submission. The main kind of aspect, their dog's in fear, and they often give their dog affection during those times. What I'll do is I'll take the dog out of an environment where they are responding to a trigger such as, and get help for it right away. Okay. That would be the absolute thing.
A messenger from Keith. Hi, Lester. I have a problem. My daughter wants a cat as a pet. My son wants a dog.
Oh, goodness.
I decided to get both. I don't know if you've gotten the dogs, the animals already, but Keith does ask, what do I do? Must both be small do I have to get them as a kitten and as a pup so that they can grow up in the household together? What's your advice to
That's fantastic. Yeah, I definitely recommend that you get a kitten and a pup. When they grow up together, they'll get used to each other and they'll play with each other and they'll form a great bond during that time. When you get an older, a sort of younger kitten and an older dog, sometimes the dog can take a sort of parental look to the kitten. Other times they'll just chase the kitten because their prey drive hasn't been utilized yet and it's not being monitored. So I would definitely suggest both from a young age to sum up that answer.
There's a question that is going to get some owners riled up, but it's a question from a listener, and it asks, are some breeds more aggressive than others? And I can really see where some of this questioning is going to end up. And I've read up recently in terms of the data that says, in terms of the reports of attacks and bitings, is that there's no conclusive data, scientific data that says that there is any one particular breed that is more aggressive than the other when it comes to attacks. But there's definitely perception.
Yeah.
I have a perception of some sets. I'm not going to mention the breeds. All of a sudden, WhatsApp lines, and Lester, you don't know my animal raised my children, so I'm not even going to get it. But that is a sentiment by some owners that some breeds are more dangerous than others.
Yes. No, I do believe certain breeds, such as power breeds, Pitbull, Border War, Rottweiler, Alsatian. No, not just yet. They have more responsibility than other dog owners may have, but no, there's absolutely, they have more needs and they need to be worked a lot more and they need to be exercised a lot more and they need to be stimulated a lot more. But as long as you're happy to keep up with those needs, then you'll have the most calm, gentle, loving, stable tempered dog that you can have. But it is more work, and that's a fact.
What do people want more? I would love if I were to get a pet that, as I'm walking, unleashed, stays on my right side throughout the entire time. And I've seen, and I know I have friends whose animals do that. Other animals run 10 meters and turn around. But generally in a sufficient radius around the owner. Or there are some people who just simply want a dog on a leash held like loosely, and the dog sort of walks beside them. What do most new dog owners want when it comes to interacting with the animal in public?
Right. Acclimating to a leash is very important because the leash creates a lot of frustration and suppression that can cause your activity in majority of dogs, like the previous caller spoke about. In terms of if you've got a dog from a young age, you can train them to heel. That helps to have a dog walk nicely on your side. As for taking your dog out in public, look, I personally, I prefer the dog to have freedom of sort of range and go out if they want to, then go meet another dog if they want to. And then when I call them, I would politely ask that they come back to me so we can continue on with our walk in another direction. So recall is very important as well, recall training as well, between the two. Otherwise, you can train a dog to walk on your heel at all times, but it takes away a lot of that freedom, and I believe that freedom itself prevents a lot of the other behavior problems from forming. That's my personal opinion, and from my experience.
The great thing is if you live close to a open grassy area with a little bit of with a small little brook or a little rivulet, then it's great. But a lot of our spaces are quite confined. Jasmine says, I'm loving your conversation of dogs. Maybe you can do a special shout out and Soma a big one for the residents or walkers of dogs in the Seapoint area, the promenade especially. Where are these owners with the leashes for your dog? And let me tie that to this voice note that's coming of how, you know, generally people interact. This is more of a question of how do humans interact with dogs more than what dogs interact with humans. Let's have a listen, Johannes.
Hello, this is Karin. Hi, Storm. I'm petrified of dogs. My son so much wants me to get a dog because he feels it'll be safer for me. How do I actually go about having a dog and not being so scared of the dog? I really need help on this because I actually can't handle them. I'm so scared of dogs. Thank you. Bye.
You usually, you know, speaking to owners about their dogs, this is a question about people and the interaction generally with dogs that are not theirs.
I love that question, actually, because I've worked with cynophobia. I worked closely with a psychologist over helping a patient with cynophobia. He asked me to come out and assist. The most kind of important factor is exposure. I would induce sort of stress slowly in terms of getting a dog. I would start from afar and kind of build up from there, taking yourself into dog sort of friendly environments such as Kierboom Park, just beginning to walk around there, and mainly paying attention and your focus toward where you're walking, where you're going, enjoying the scenic views, and trying to pay as little attention as possible to the dogs that are kind of in your direct surrounding. Kierboom Park and Rondebosch is a great park to go to. I trust a lot of the dogs there. I've never seen an issue arise from there. The promenade is one. The promenade I have seen some sort of issues arise from. But I would definitely look in, and look, I don't want to sell myself too much, but in that regard, I'd definitely suggest to contact us. It's a touchy subject, and you don't want to. Dogs also do react to fear. When they're observing fear, they do react to it. You want a dog who is very, very stable, and identifying that temperament is very, very important as well. But otherwise, as I say, ignoring the dogs completely, going for a nice walk and say Kierboom Park or along the promenade and just completely paying attention to the views, but knowing that over time, you can start slowly looking down, looking at around at the dogs and then paying attention forward again.
Yeah, we started this conversation commenting on Leo, who is a mixed puppy under our desk.
She's a warthog.
But absolutely quiet and lovable under our feet. But continue with our conversation on temperament and breeds. Michael asks, please ask your guests, so many people insist on getting a purebred dog from a breeder opposed to a rescue dog, as they believe they are guaranteed the behavior of a purebred dog. Can you ask his opinion, please?
Oh, that's a great question as well. That differs, hey. The one important factor is you're also a lot more prone to sort of diseases as well with purebred dogs. And the purebred dogs nowadays, like if you're ordering them from, again, I'm not as familiar with ordering of purebred dogs. They are more prone to certain diseases, and also there's different lines to the breed, and through each breeder, even though they may be certified and they may have all their kind of papers together, you're still not 100% certain of what you're getting. You might get a baseline of what you've read online, but they're not all fully guaranteed. And that's why I would definitely, again, go back to promoting adopt, don't shop. But it differs. Look, if you're looking for a certain set of temperament, go ahead, meet the dogs and understand what you're getting ahead with. But it does differ. It's not a full guarantee. That is more myth nowadays.
Please, may I have some advice on my golden retriever rescue boy that goes barking mad when he gets excited or doesn't get his own way? He's like a 2-year-old having a temper tantrum. Yeah. He starts barking about an hour before our usual walk time and escalates as he gets more excited. Please help. Actually, I have a friend who can't actually say the word WALK.
Oh, yes. In their homes.
That's a trigger. They cannot even say, I'm going on a walkabout with my reading club. The word walk triggers their pet.
Yeah.
And it's done. They have to go on a walk right now.
Yeah. The kind of overexcitement around a walk is common. It's very, 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 very common. And generally what I suggest is there's older methods and so forth that you can use to aid the barking. Putting stimulation games in place prior to going on a walk helps, because again, it reduces the energy before you go out on a walk. The other thing as well is changing the routine that you would usually do before you take your dog out for a walk. So let's say you grab your bag, or you grab your shoes, or you grab your jacket, everything you basically do before you grab the leash, do that entire routine, grab the leash, so now this golden retriever is expecting a walk. You put the leash down after doing that routine, and then you go sit back down on the couch. It builds up all that excitement in the dogs, and now they're expecting, because now they have an expectation. Dogs are prone to routine. They learn through routine. So now they're going to be expecting this walk. You put the leash down, you go back on the couch, and wait until that excitement boils down. Do that once. then do change up your routine completely, then take the leash and then take him for a walk and just see what the difference is. Otherwise, if you practice something like that daily or implement more sort of routine changes, mm-hmm. and then you don't walk them at all and then you walk them the next day, you'll see a completely different change in mm-hmm. behavior that you see now.
What is it if you're getting a new pup, obviously that, you know, gets weaned by its mom for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a question here from Amina who says, good morning. The lady who adopted a small dog that was just born, I think the dog is traumatized by not having the own born milk from its mum. Mm. It's rather cruel. Ach, shame. And of course, with many people when they have unexpected, you know, litters, many families try to get, you know, rid.
Yeah.
Of them, not ridder, it's a very bad word, or to try and distribute them to people who want them as soon as possible. Does that affect any way the behavior of how, of the length of time the puppy has been weaned by its mother?
Absolutely, hey? Because they need that support from their early stages. Otherwise, you see more behaviors come out in later life. You see a lot of changes and aspects to the behavior. And they absolutely do. That's why generally I say 8 weeks. I don't usually say six. I know they can go from six, but it's much healthier, I find, to go from 8 weeks. It proves a lot more in sort of stability in their later life. That's definitely a big part, because I hear of a lot of people getting puppies from 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and then I explain to them, look, now we sort of know what they've missed during their puppy stage, and now we're going to have to make up for it in later time. But it differentiates in what to sort of expect based on the way that mother dog raised them.
Well, Storm Freeston, unfortunately, that's all we have time for.
Oh, wow, that was great.
Just 30 minutes in radio goes very, very quickly. But thanks so much, and thank you to Leah, who has been an absolute star, who's literally asleep underneath our desk here. Hopefully we can revive her. So
no, I'm sure
continue
we can,
for. But if people want to contact you, how do they get? How do they learn a bit more about you and the service that you offer?
Oh, great! You're the plug. We're at Splendid letter K number 9 on Facebook and Instagram. www.splendidletterk9.com for our website. And our full name of our business is Splendid Canine Dog Behavior Specialists. If you Google us, you'll find us all over.
Storm Freeston, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You
it's been great.
All the
fun.
Best. Continue sleeping. It's fine.
Great, man.
Coming up after Eyewitness News on the Line and in the Gym.